Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Pass to the right, intercepted, and run into the end zone for a touchdown. Sterling Moore.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Thanks, Tom. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm here. Kevin Collins is there. You're there. The stadium is right over there, right in back of Kevin's head, and about 200 yards in back of him. And it's a great day here on the Patriots.com. As always, a lot of fun with John Rook playing the match game and all that stuff. And good time. Again, email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. I am definitely going to read, as I promised, some of the responses from this morning's post that I had about Skip Bayless on ESPN at 10 o'clock. It is, like I said, I'm going to say a little prayer for Skip that he comes back to us in this dimension, because as much as I disagree with him on a lot of things in the NFL, and it does scare me how much he is on Tom Brady and the Patriots bandwagon, but his over-infatuation and with Tim Tebow is just, it's just hysterical. It really is. It's must-watch television in the morning for me at 10 o'clock to listen to Bayless talk about the Denver Broncos. And it shouldn't even be a story. And finally, like Hugh Douglas and was it Brad Parker were on there today. Finally, you know, why do they continue to keep talking about a guy who, in my opinion, is the worst quarterback in the last 25 years to enter into the playoffs? Somebody brought up to me Rob Johnson on Facebook. That's a good one, too. But Tebow's actually worse. And he is just so bad. It's really bad. Again, we've gone over this time and time again, but we'll get into that. We're going to get into all the playoff games as well. I want your opinion on how you think they're going to work out here. So again, email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And also you can, call me as always on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. There is just lots to talk about. By the way, Andy Dalton, Cincinnati Bengals quarterback, released from the hospital earlier today with flu-like symptoms, so a bit dehydrated. So he's got a couple of days now, day and a half at least, to get that squared away. It's not really what you want, your quarterback in the hospital 2 days before a big playoff game. But we begin today. I just have to throw this out there. I have, because a guy texted me about this earlier, about the Chad Ochocinco on Twitter. And this guy has over 3 million followers. It is absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. And I tweet a lot. When I tweet about, I don't tweet about my personal life unless it's something goofy, because I just don't have the time. And I think 99% of the tweets are useless. I like tweets when they're informational. Not people who like, you know, having their own life story on Twitter. And to be honest with you, I think Facebook's more fun anyway, because you get pictures and I don't know, you could just write more. You got to write within 140 characters on Twitter. But so I'm going to say a lot of people, I tweet about what's coming up on the show. I tweet a little bit about some poker tournaments I play and some charity stuff I do, all that stuff. But usually I don't respond to people on Twitter because it's just hard. I'd rather do it on Facebook. It's not anything. It's not a personal thing with me. As far as people tweeting back, and there have been so many nice messages. So I tweeted today about all the messages that I haven't responded to, that if they would rather do, I'd rather do it during the show. Please, you know, if you have questions about football or an opinion, anyway, just ask me on Facebook. It's just much easier for me to get to on Facebook because I have like six screens up and all the stuff, plus the call screeners and the email at web radio and all that stuff. I mean, it's not brain surgery, but it's just, you know, pain in the butt. But this is priceless right here. This is Chad Ochocinco. And I mean, you write your whole life story on here, or a lot of, you know, every thought that pops into your mind. But Chad writes today on Twitter. He writes, and this is 6 hours ago, so what would that be? 10 o'clock. Around 10 o'clock, 10:15 this morning. Chad tweets, "My daughter was just suspended from school this morning for a day for a slick comment I don't think is worthy of suspension. You decide." And, of course, next is the tweet of what happened. So Chad tweets, "Teacher, says to his daughter, and I don't know the age of the daughter, by the way. I'm assuming, sounds to me, somewhere between the ages of 11 and 14. Teacher says, "Why are you late?" His daughter replies, "Why does it matter? You still get paid, right?" Oh, my goodness. And then Chad says, "Well, this is detention worthy, not suspension." That's what Chad says. And then he says, goes on to say about his daughter, "I have no idea where you got your sense of humor and slick remarks, but you never undermine authority, especially teachers. Damn it." Chad goes on to say, "Okay, that comment just cost you. You are grounded until further notice, right?" And then the daughter replies, tweets back to him, "Daddy, I got it from you, so chill, please." Oh, my God. Too funny. And then his other tweets, he goes on to, this is 4 hours ago. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Chad Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson writes, "Broke a lamp or headboard? Broke a lamp or headboard? Because a question mark. Not a chance in hell, kind madam, right?" I don't know. Then it goes on to say, and then he says, "It'd behoove you that you're outside once I'm done with work, my Prius on full with a meal waiting on the stove as well." And then he goes on to say, and then this is about an hour ago. When I came in, they were practicing. When I'm here Wednesdays and Thursdays, they're practicing right, you know, they're near the media entrance. I mean, you can't see them because the field is blocked and all that stuff. You certainly hear the music, and sometimes you hear Bill and the players yelling. But they must have, 57 minutes ago, he tweets. And this had to be from Kevin. It had to be the practice fielder from the locker room. He tweets, "How many of y'all have people pick you up from work and you tell them in earlier time so they're not late, but you still end up waiting outside?" Then he says, 5 minutes later, no, this is going to be the locker room. Chad tweets, "I told her 3 o'clock. I'm still outside waiting on the Prius to pull up, right?" And the person who's picking him up tweets back, "Do you have to tell everyone that?" Chad then, he tweets, 5 minutes later, he tweets, "You late to pick me up, looking like Cleo from Set It Off, right?" And the person supposed to pick him up says, "Peep me with corn rolls. I love it." Oh, my God. That is true. Go to Chad Ocho Cinco on Twitter.
That's crazy.
So, apparently, Chad Johnson is not going through security like we have to go through to get over here. But if you're in the main parking lot, you see Chad Johnson waiting outside for someone to pick him up in a Prius. You know, let him know that, I don't know, his friend's outside waiting for him. I don't know, his girlfriend or whatever. Oh, God, that is just freaking priceless. That is priceless. Great. I don't understand the time that some of these people and athletes have on their hands. I just don't, you know, I think social media is great. I really enjoy it. I enjoy it for the information. I enjoy it for work, obviously, here, because I think it's a great asset to the show. People can Facebook and stuff, or they can't email and web radio, and you can send YouTube. I mean, you can send different things and pictures and all that. And it's great. Trust me, it's fantastic. I never thought it would be like this 10, 15 years ago, but I've come around. I just don't understand why everybody on Facebook and Twitter think they are on a reality show, and they just tweet every bling moment that pops in and out of their head. You know, from going to take a dump to starting the car to be waiting in the locker room for someone to pick them up. I don't know. I like it for informational purposes or entertainment stuff. I think it's great. But as far as putting every fleeting thought that goes in and out of your mind on it, it cracks me up. And athletes are, I mean, it's entertaining. There's no question it's entertaining. But I figured I'd start you off with that just because it was absolutely hysterical reading all that stuff. All right, email me, webradio@patriots.com, and you can at Facebook as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Lots of Facebook messages and emails to get to. Also, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. First up today is Eldridge in North Carolina. Eldridge, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Pete. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I'm laughing at you, what you said about Chad Ochoa.
Is that unbelievable? How about the daughter's response? I got it from you, Dad.
You're right. That's hysterical.
My question is,
if you got that much time to be tweeting, he should be in that playbook so he can get his butt on the field more.
Well, again,
somewhere down the line, we're going to need him.
I agree. And he did make a couple of nice blocks on Sunday, but I'm hoping that they can get something out of him, a couple of catches a game or something, just adding another dimension by being able to stretch the field a little bit. And who knows? He's so hard to figure out. But
I can't figure out why is it taking him so long. It's been, 17 weeks now?
Yep.
And you still can't get on the field much as, anybody else.
Well,
looking at Carson Palmer.
Yep.
From his old days with the Raiders. He's on there. He's performing. I'm looking at, what's that new guy? The other guy. A.J. Green and Dalton.
Oh, A.J. Green's phenomenal. A.J. Green. I love A.J. Green is going to be a superstar. That is going to be. That was a great pick. He's phenomenal.
I was hoping we would move up and get that pick, but I guess they didn't see that way.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to put on a couple pounds, but he's already a tremendous receiver. I mean, I loved him at Georgia, and I thought he would be a good player. I didn't know he'd be like this. He's phenomenal.
Same here.
Yeah.
I saw him every weekend too.
Yeah.
Since I'm up here in North Carolina.
Yep.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Yesterday I was on the PFW. I looked down. What it said? Picked up a wide receiver. Britt Davis, whoever he is.
Say that again.
They let go the tight end that was the fullback.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they let go of Garrett Mills.
Yeah, Mills.
Yeah, so my question is, okay, why are we picking up receivers when most of them ain't getting no work, no way besides Welcher and Branch? You know, Ocho, he's not reliable, don't seem like it. And Tywon Underwood, he's getting there every now and then, but...
Yeah.
I figured that safety we picked up a couple weeks ago, let him go the next day.
Think of it this way. Think about when they're up in practice, they need some players out there to simulate the other team. And that's what happens a lot of times. That's why some of these guys get picked up during the week, not just during the playoffs, but during the regular season. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there. I mean, they need some players, obviously. So you're going to have, you need some players sometimes to simulate what the other team is going to do.
Oh, so in other words, there's no chance of them learning our offense.
I'm not saying there's no chance. I'm saying it's possible. I think that there's more than one reason why people think one-dimensional when that kind of stuff happens. But, sometimes guys get signed just to practice during the week, then they release them. And it doesn't happen off. I mean, it happens. I mean, you look at Ross Ventrone this year. I mean, he's cut and released every single week.
Yeah, but he's back on the practice squad again.
Yeah, he is. He is for now. That could change in the next 10 minutes. Who knows? But
yeah, because I saw him down there too. And I also saw in the injury reserves where we got somebody named, not Josh Barrett because he's a safety, but it's another Barrett down there. Cornerback, 6'1".
Yep.
Was a rookie, but he ain't out there. Nobody know much about him either. But I figured, like I said, I'm hoping we ain't no one and done this year. I'm hoping it's like everybody talking about New England and Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm sticking with my preseason pick, as I've told you and said a minute from week one. I picked Patriots in New Orleans, so I'm sticking with that. Certainly not going to be surprised if Green Bay is there. They're a great team. But I'm going to stick with my preseason pick of Patriots and New Orleans. I think this is a different team than last year and the year before. Obviously, every year is different. This is a much tougher team.
Yeah, but that defense scared the hell out of me.
Well, yeah, but
21 points, 17 points in the first half.
Yeah, look at the overall. What's the overall result?
I'm looking at the overall results.
Eldridge, look at it this way. Think of it, and again, look through the looking glass the other way. So I brought up this point earlier this week. In the second half of the last eight games of the regular season, they have been one of the best defensive teams from points allowed standpoint. They've only averaged giving up 7 points a game the last eight games in the second half, and that includes that 21 garbage points they gave up to Indianapolis when they were up by 28 points. I mean, that says something, too. You have to factor all that in, and they're still in the middle of a pack in points allowed. And when you look at, and I was going to, here's another reason why. You look at, let me give you an example of why Baltimore, you know, looks great on paper, but just listen to these teams and quarterbacks they have faced, all right? Opening game, they face Pittsburgh. Okay, they're home, and they won 35-7. Then they go at Tennessee the next week, and they lose. Matt Hasselbeck, pretty good quarterback, they lose. Then they go at St. Louis, and St. Louis was awful this year, so you're expecting to win one of their rare road wins. The Jets, you remember that game on Monday night or Sunday night. That was one of the worst games of the year for their offense. I mean, it was just a question of which quarterback was worse, Sanchez or Flacco. They were both terrible, but Sanchez was so bad. Remember, the Jets didn't have their center that night. They turned the ball over, I think, six or seven times the Jets did. So they win that one. It's still a crappy quarterback they're facing. Then they face Houston. Okay, they're at home, and they win that one. Okay, and that's when Schaub, I think, played in that game. I think that might have been one of the last ones he played. It's October 16th. Then they go to Jacksonville, and they lose at Jacksonville, a horrible team. They lose 12-7. Then they face another mediocre to bad, you know, Arizona team, which they came from behind and won at home. They should have lost that game. There's a couple of bad calls in that game. They almost lost that game at home against a very mediocre quarterback. They play again Pittsburgh. Okay, they got a last-second touchdown. They win that game 23-20. And again, Roethlisberger, okay, you give him, that's at least a decent quarterback. Then they play at Seattle, mediocre to bad quarterback at best. They lose that game, by the way. Then they play home against Cincinnati. All right, nice win over, you know, an up and coming team, you know, but yep. Dalton and company, again, mediocre rookie quarterback. They win 31-24. They play San Francisco with Alex Smith, who's their offense. San Francisco's offense is just not that good. And Alex Smith is far from anywhere near to being an elite quarterback. He's one of those second tier guys, maybe even below that. They win They win 16-6. They go at Cleveland with another crappy quarterback, and they win 24-10. They get another crappy quarterback the following week in Indianapolis, and they win 24-10. Then they go to San Diego, a pretty decent quarterback, a pretty decent offensive team, and they get killed 34-14. San Diego waxes them. They come back home to play a crappy Cleveland team with another crappy quarterback and win 20-14. And then they place, they go to Cincinnati, a nice win again, not against, you know, a great, powerful offense. So if you go and look at their schedule, I mean, I understand why in points allowed they're up there and why their defense is so they have not played, and neither is San Francisco. These teams have not played the elite offensive firepower in the NFL. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of these numbers that you see and people will get all hyped about. On defense, I'm telling you, it's going to be different this year. It's going to be different. What I don't understand is why people don't get on Pittsburgh's offense like last week in a game they really had to win, and they squeak out a 13-9 win. I know Mendenhall wasn't there, and I know Ben's banged up. My God, that's all. That's the best you got is 13 points against the Browns? I mean,
And like I said, that's in their conference, so they know them pretty well.
Yeah, I understand that, but still, come on. This Pittsburgh team is not the same team it was a couple of months ago. And Baltimore still has major, major issues on the road. I know they had a decent game last week at Cincinnati, but they have had major problems on the road this year. And their defense is not what it was. It's not like people are just assuming like 2009 is going to happen all over again. It's completely different teams, completely different circumstances. So I just urge again, as usual, everybody, look at the big picture. And I think you're going to be – when teams
looking at the big picture. I like my team, you know. Yep. Just like I said before, defense just scares the hell out of me. But I also agree with you with Tebow. I hope Pittsburgh shut him down and just shut his mouth. I'm tired of him, Tim Tebow, and all this stuff too.
Well, it's not his fault. I don't blame him. I mean, some of the genuflecting, all that stuff. Yeah, and he throws it down, the religion down your throat a little bit too much. But for the most part, I blame the Skip Baylesses of the world and all the national media. They're the ones that have built this kid up. And if you took the name off the jersey, like I said, and put Joe Smith on, I mean, is he not? Tell me a quarterback over the last 25 or 30 years you've seen enter the playoffs that is worse than him. I can't remember. I'm trying to come up with one. Somebody came up with Rob Johnson on Facebook the other day.
The only one I can think of is Ryan Leaf didn't make it to the playoffs.
No, I'm talking about in the playoffs. I can't ever remember a quarterback that's this bad that's in the playoffs. He's the second or third from the bottom of the league in everything. It's just awful.
No.
And this team and the way they play plays right into the hand. I want Denver to. I mean, if you're a Patriot, I want Denver to win. Don't get me wrong, but this the way they play plays right into the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers, banged up or no banged up. Not that Pittsburgh's going to score a ton of points in this game, but I don't know how. I'm still trying to figure out how Denver gets to at least double digits, and I can't see it.
I can't see it. Unless McGahee and the other running back runs away with it. But that's what the guys on No Huddle, that's what they're picking. They're picking this is Denver is right now to upset Pittsburgh because, one, Mendon Hall ain't there. Roethlisberger is hurt.
Yeah, but.
Pittsburgh ain't scored over 13 points in the last three games.
No, I understand. That's right. I think the game will be ugly. I think it'll be like 13-9, like it was last week. And I might even be inclined.
13-9. They're picking Denver.
No. But I saw a few guys that I think most people actually pick Pittsburgh. I mean, a few guys pick Denver, but you can't. I don't know how you pick Denver, knowing that you know the Steelers are going to attack the run. They're the best rush defense, you know, statistically in the league, and we know that you know sometimes those numbers can get skewed, but. In this case, I really think the matchup here is a horrible one for Denver because you know they're going to come up and they're going to stack the box. They're going to make Tebow throw in one-on-one coverage, and I think he is doomed. I don't think the Steelers are going to win the game 40-0 or anything like that. I just think it's going to be probably an ugly game similar to last week, and the Steelers come out on top by 4 or 5 points. And I don't know how Tebow. The only way they win is if he throws the ball consistently and some semblance of consistency, and I just don't see it. I think it's a bad, bad matchup for them.
Yeah, one more question,
yeah.
I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. I'm talking about this is towards the end of the season right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Welch is coming up for a contract.
Yep.
Okay. You got Branches in his 30s, and you got Ocho Cinco's up in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Patriots will do about that?
Well, I don't think Welker's going anywhere. And even if they franchise him, I don't think Welker's going anywhere. The rest of Branch and Ocho Cinco, I don't know. I couldn't sit here and give you an honest answer. I think we have to wait till the playoffs are over, too. And then, you know, like, as usual, you know, they reevaluate. I've really a long time ago stopped getting inside the heads of how this organization thinks about signing and releasing players because it's a business. And I just think they're going to do what they feel. Bill will do what he feels, as always, what's best for the team. And not everybody always agrees with that, but
that's true.
But there haven't been a lot of players that the Patriots have released that have gone on to do great things. It hasn't happened. So, they have a pretty good track record there. If Branch and Ocho go into the playoffs and light it up, I think maybe they reevaluate a little bit and see what happens. But no, it wouldn't shock me if both those guys aren't here next year. But I'll be stunned if Welker isn't. I think they will get Welker signed or franchised. He'll be here.
Yeah, I think so too. At least I hope so.
Yep.
And if this guy is 6'3", this Britt Davis, if he's got any little speed and catch, we'll keep him in trying.
We'll see.
All right, thanks.
All right, Ocho, thanks a lot. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That is the number here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And also you can Facebook me as well at Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Email webradio at patriots.com. Let's head back to the phones. It's Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to... First of all, I agree with what you said. I agree completely that, like I said, recently I've seen the Steelers look horrible on the road. Baltimore got killed by the Chargers. You know, so seeing both of those things, especially knowing the Pittsburgh has to go to the road, and we get past this first game, knowing that the Ravens would have to come to us, you know, I think that those teams have just as much vulnerability as we do.
Yeah.
So I want to say this, huh?
No, I said they all. I mean, every team has their own deficiencies, and people still nationally and locally are refusing to look at the schedules that the Steelers and the Ravens have had, and the quarterbacks and the offenses they've gone up against, and they really have not faced a high-powered offensive yet. Yes, the Steelers beat the Patriots on October 30th when they had the ball for 41 minutes, and people think that that's going to be every time you hear. I mean, you heard Blueprint after the Buffalo loss. It was so absurd. And then you hear Blueprint after the Patriots lost to Pittsburgh the first time. But, you know, we have seen it time and time again where the Patriots and a few years ago lost in Pittsburgh much worse when they lost their 21-game winning streaks, lost much worse. They got killed by like 21 or 24 points in Pittsburgh. And what happened during the AFC Championship game? The Patriots came back and smoked them 41-27 in Pittsburgh. So what happened October 30th, to me, is going to have no bearing whatsoever on January 14th because the Patriots are playing much better, obviously, and the Steelers aren't as good as they were.
Right. And, can I, sir, I got a couple more things I got to say.
Yep.
First of all, well, I know our defense is, like I said, I'm not going to evaluate them, like I said this many times. I'm not going to really evaluate them on how many yards they'd be giving up. I just want to get better on third down. And, you know, our defense might be it's pretty weird. It's not that great, especially from the Patriots teams of the past. But, you know, I'm looking at Green Bay's with – we're not giving up no 45 points. And, you know, the Jets have given up 30-something points on a regular basis this year.
Well, the Patriots, the Patriots are in the middle of the pack in points allowed at 15. And the most the most anybody scored on them all year was in Foxborough was 24. That's the most anybody scored on them all. It's 24 you know,
and
I think
the Bills was a peak six, you know, so that game was really about 30 points. I mean, probably about 20 points each. So, you know, that's, I could say it's fairly decent, you know. I want to say it could get better, of course, but especially in big games where it's the Jets and stuff like that, you know, I managed to get 16, 17 points, something like that, when they played the Jets. So,
And people, you know, people also don't take into consideration a lot of the national and even some, you know, you got to factor in the turnover differential. They're plus 17. They lead the AFC, the number one and the number three overall in the NFL. Green Bay and New Orleans are 1-2, I believe. So, I mean, that's, that counts for something. And the fact that they've given up only on average 7 points in the second half of the 8 games in the second half of the season, on average, 7 points in the second half, I think that's terrific, as opposed to 09, where the 09 team had a real hard time. They'd start off great, and then they had hard time, you know, closing teams out, which is why back then I did not think they were going to beat Baltimore in that year. I really didn't, but that was that year. And I think the Baltimore Ravens, to me, are very similar to what the Patriots were back in 09, a very similar type of team. They have trouble winning on the road. They have trouble closing out games. They're just not. It's just a different year for them. They're just. I mean, they're a very good team, but they, you know, if they come into here to play the Patriots, I don't know. They're not. You think they can put up 30 here? Could win, and I don't. I just don't.
No, I doubt it. I very seriously doubt it. And I got one more quick question.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen them a lot. Let's say that I feel like the Patriots, for some odd reason, seems like this year we're having trouble picking up the blitz. You know. Especially against the Dolphins, and the Jets would just stack the line and just rush them. You know, I feel like we get away from our screen game a lot until last week, you know, with Benny having a big, long 53-yard screen. Yeah. Do you feel like that, you know, that they're having problems picking up the blitz?
No.
Or do you feel like it's an offensive line problem because of, you know, personnel?
Well, let's address it. Let's start with the offensive line. Now, the offensive line's had a great year. You're talking about the Miami game. Let's go back. I brought that up on the show, and not enough people were talking about it. When you lose Matt Light 5 minutes before kickoff, and then you lose Logan Mankins 5 minutes into the game, I said this during that week. I said, I turned to my wife and I said, this is going to be disastrous here for at least the first half of the game because these guys who they filled in for them are glad that they have that depth, but they were not used to playing and practicing in those positions. It's tough. And finally, Brady addressed it, you know, back on Monday, the next day. That, you know, people don't understand that an offensive line is a cohesive unit. It's difficult. It's bad enough already how well they're doing with second and third string center with Copeland's out. But when you, it just takes a while. So I knew, I mean, I absolutely knew, what was going to happen in that when those two guys went down, any team would have done that. You blitz and go after them and make, and there's no question that, it just took a little bit of time. It took about a half of football for them to get used to each other. And then you saw what happens. Then the Patriots, destroyed them in the second half. Once they got it going.
It spread them out a little bit too. I saw in the first half, they maybe had kind of a butt set. And, you know, probably when you spread them out, you can probably see this makes the game a little bit more simple for them, hopefully. And, you know, they spread them out in a big five-wide receiver set instead of bunching up and Brady really not knowing where the blitz is coming from. And I feel like that was a little effective, too. And plus, they got a little bit more comfortable, it seemed like. I didn't even know that Mankins went out. I thought he was fine. I saw him go out for a second, but I didn't know he wasn't in the game.
He never came back. And then, you know, you think about it. I mean, Dan Conley and Ryan Wendell and Nick McDonald had a fill in, and also cannot say enough about Marcus Cannon, how underrated I think he has been over these last few weeks. And it's a great story. Obviously, everybody knows, and he just won another award, and I'll get to that afterwards. But, I mean, guys like Cannon and Wendell and McDonald and Connolly have done a tremendous job. Brian Waters, obviously, is a Pro Bowler and Solder. I mean, that offensive line is just terrific for the most part. Matt Leitz had one of his greatest years he's ever had. He's been terrific. So I just think when you lose a guy like Leitz right before the game and then Mankins goes down, it's going to take a little bit of time. And those guys should be back next week for the playoff game.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not my issue.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right, Bill. Thanks a lot. Take care. Call again. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. And let's see. We'll take a quick break because Kevin's going to have to reset my computer again. And then we'll get right to the emails. I know there's a ton of them, and I'll get to Facebook as well. And your thoughts on who do you like this week in the playoffs? I'll give my picks a little bit later on. And against the spread, we'll see. But I think I pretty much have told you who I like in the games. We'll get into all that, your phone calls, emails, on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com here until 6 on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Right. No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, and that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, as we're talking about the wild card playoffs coming up, a division wild card coming up this weekend. We got four big games coming up on Saturday. Cincinnati and Houston, 4:30 on NBC. At 8 o'clock, Detroit and New Orleans on NBC. And then Sunday, you got Atlanta and the Giants at 1 on Fox. And then you got Pittsburgh, Denver on CBS at 4:30. So lots to talk about. I'll give you my picks earlier. Well, I'll tell you, I like Houston. I like New Orleans in a very, very close game. I like Cincinnati. I like New Orleans. And I like the Falcons in a very close game. And I like Pittsburgh, too. To win, I got to think about the cover. I think it's 8 or 9 points, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. Let me read some of these emails on webradio at patriots.com. Danny says, "Hey Pete, you talked yesterday about this year's MVP. Aaron Rodgers has been an incredible season. Clearly, he should be MVP. They talk about Drew Brees, but look at the numbers. He threw the ball 155 more times. Not only that, but indoors, put Brady indoors, give him 155 more attempts." I would bet he would have thrown for over 7,000 yards. Also, why aren't people talking about Matthew Stafford? Yes, I know he didn't have an MVP season, but you got to be proud of what he did in his first healthy season. And get this, Pete, I forgot to mention this yesterday, but Sunday I went to church. I've been going there for over 20 years. I have never seen anyone wear a jersey since I've been there. Sunday, about 10 adults came in with, and I believe my friend here lives in Denver, I believe. Sunday, about 10 adults came in with Tebow jerseys. I sent my wife home to get my Brady jersey. Halfway through the service, I had someone telling me that wearing what I'm wearing is very inappropriate. Can't take much more of this Tebow crap. So my question is, who are you rooting for? You play the Steelers, shut people up, or do you want to kick Tebow's ass and will probably be his last quarterback start? P.S. Did you like the picture I put on your Facebook page? Take care, man, Danny. Yeah, I saw the big, fat, ugly... Oh, that was you that did that. Yeah, I actually took it down because I did see it. But I actually took it down because it takes away from me getting to the messages. But, yes, I did, that disgusting person that you put up there. I'm rooting for Denver. I think most people, I'm rooting for Denver, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, I want the Broncos to win. I'd rather face the Broncos than Pittsburgh. It's not that I'm scared of Pittsburgh or anything like that. I believe the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, and I just don't think anybody's going to be able to outscore them in here. By the way, Peter King came out, and Sports Illustrated came out, and I got it this morning, came out this week. Brady's on the cover. And his Super Bowl prediction is New Orleans over the Patriots. Now, he's changed his tune since earlier in the year. But he has New Orleans beating the Patriots, and I think it was 34-24, which is way too low scoring a game, if that's what it ever comes down to. But he has, like, the Patriots beating Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship, like 23-17 or something like that. And, you know... I suppose it still seems a little low for the Patriots here. I think they've only scored less than 24 points in here once. And that was against the Giants. The playoffs, I think, are going to be as interesting as ever. And we probably say that every single year, but this year, it really is going to be intriguing. But I'm rooting for Denver. I think most Patriot fans are rooting for Denver because they don't want to see Pittsburgh. But I just think it's a horrible, horrible matchup for the Broncos. I don't know how they get the double digits. I still don't know. And I'm going to read some of your Facebook comments that I posed for doing the homework last night. Some of you responded, so I'm going to read those afterwards. Dave says, I want to talk about the Steelers versus the Patriots. Prior to the game this year in October, everyone was saying the Steelers don't stand a chance against the Pats. Everyone in the media was saying Bill Belichick owns Dick LeBeau's defense, and it's almost a certain win. Now, after this one loss, people are saying the opposite, and the Pats don't stand a chance, and if they had to play the Steelers in the playoffs, it doesn't make sense. I, for one, feel pretty confident that the Pats will get the job done against Pittsburgh, especially since it's the second time Bill Belichick gets a shot at them. What do you think? As far as Ocho's tweets go, I'd find them a lot funnier if he shows up in the playoffs. I agree with you there. No, I'm totally with you, Dave. You're 100% accurate. It was hysterical. And that was the week I was away that week in Jamaica getting married. And certainly, though, I remember online a couple times reading all the hype and everybody thinking it was a certain win. And I certainly thought they were going to beat him that day. But not surprised. Again, it wasn't like they lost 52-10. They lost, 25-17. They had the ball at the end. They're still a one-score game. As badly as they played, and they were only on the field for 19 minutes of that game, remember, that's not going to happen again if they come here. And like the emailer says, and I said earlier, reiterate that when Belichick plays another team the second time, the results are usually dramatically different, especially in a playoff game. I mean, it's easy. The Patriots defense is an easy target for people who are lazy, who don't go and look at all the teams and the players they have. I mean, the teams they've played, the quarterbacks they've played, the defensive numbers, points allowed, turnover differential. It's real easy for lazy journalists and media people to just do the flash over substance thing with headline stuff. The obvious. Net yard, they're ranked 31st. How are they going to win a Super Bowl? The Packers are ranked 32nd. How are they going to win a Super Bowl? I mean, it's garbage. It's a different league right now. It's completely different. And there's nothing. 2009, 2010, 2007 has nothing to do with this Patriots team this year, right here, right now. The Steelers are a different team than they were back on October 30th, and I don't think for the better or for the worse. The Patriots are, to me, are a much better team. They lost to the Giants the following week and haven't lost since. They've won 8 games in a row. All right? The Saints have won, I believe, 8 in a row. So October 30th has nothing to do with what's going to happen here January 14th. It still could be Cincinnati. I still think it's going to be Cincinnati, to be honest with you. So because I think Cincinnati is going to squeak out a win in Houston. Let's see. Omar in Atlanta says, hey, Pete, I thought you'd appreciate this little tidbit. Inside the NFL gave 15 seconds. That's right, seconds, because I timed it on the Patriots' 49 unanswered points win over the Bills with nary a mention of Brady's record-breaking passing yards for a season. Well, maybe they mentioned it since I fast-forwarded most of the show, but I'm probably right. Regardless, what are all these analysts going to say if, or more likely when, the Patriots win the Super Bowl again with the worst defense ever? Belichick is poised to shut them up all up again. Keep up the stellar analysis. Thanks, Omar. Yeah, even if the Packers win it with the 32nd defense, what are people going to say? But yeah, the incredibly nationally, no one has talked about Brady breaking Dan Marino's record either. Nobody talked about it at all. And I'm actually even more upset after the game against Buffalo that Sterling Moore's 2 interceptions, which were 2 great picks, one for a pick 6, got almost zero coverage locally and nationally. Almost zero coverage. Don't exist. Those were 2 probably the better interceptions the Patriots have had all year. And they didn't get any play at all. But it's typical. It's typical of the way the media treats this team, a lot of it. Not everybody, but a big chunk of it. Because if other teams were doing this year what the Patriots are doing, for me right now, Belichick should be coach of the year. Should be coach of the year again. No question about it. He won't be. Be Harbaugh from San Francisco more than likely. But you look at, what this team, the games that this team has won when the hype and everybody else seemed to be against him, and what they've had to overcome defensively. And yes, I know they dug themselves their own. You can say they dug themselves a hole themselves because they cut Merriweather and they cut Sanders, and I understand that. Even though if those two guys were here, I'm not sure how much better defensively they'd be. I think a big reason a lot of holes have been now filled up again because Chung and Spikes are back. Spikes was playing great before he got hurt. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think Bill should absolutely once again be considered for Coach of the Year. They've done a great job. You know, they really have. I mean, they're the number one seed again. You go 13-3, which is what I said they'd go in the beginning of the year. That's what I thought. And, you know, he certainly deserves consideration. He won't get it this year, but he deserves consideration. Let's see. This is Gene says, hey, Pete and Kevin, I knew you guys on the game show panel, and John asked me for a word to describe New York. You would answer like a true Patriot fan would. My wife was listening and worried I was going to use the F word to describe New York, but then I remembered John said it was a family show, so I went to say screw New York. My question to you guys is, did you consider the F word New York before you chose screw New York? Also, thank you again, Pete and Kevin, for the new PFW shirt. I thought of a lot of things. I was trying to actually fit in a Rex Ryan colloquialism, but I couldn't do it. Josh says in Washington, D.C., stop calling Welcher. Damn it, his name is Welker. I was one of the callers that was saying Welcher, I guess. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. And Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Santiago posts on Facebook. Let's get to some Facebook messages here. I got a lot of them. Homework. I think that the Broncos have to, one, don't turn the ball over to the Steelers. Two, hit Roethlisberger from the start and make him feel uncomfortable. Three, get turnovers. Four, get some calls from the referees on favor. Five, Matt Prater has to have the game of his life, also Tebow. Six, keep the fans in the game and make a hostile environment. Seven, get Roethlisberger out of the game and play great special teams. Eight, have luck. I know all this won't happen, but there is the only way I think the Broncos have got a good shot to beat the Steelers. I hope it happens. Well, I think you have valid points in everything you said. Two things that surprised me. One, I heard, did you know there were 10,000 seats available, I guess, last week for the Broncos-Kansas City game? 10,000 seats. How quickly they forget. You know, all that crap and about playing out there and home field advantage. And, you know, you would think it'll be incredibly difficult for the Steelers, especially on third down, to get a play call, to get a playoff. But I don't know. Maybe the fans just aren't going to be as into it because they think they have no chance in this game. But your point, Santiago, the main point is point number where is it? It's the one where you say, oh, there it is. Number five, Matt Prater has to have the game of his life, which he might have already against the Bears. Also Tebow. See, Tebow has to have the game of his life. Tebow has to have the game of his life. And it cracked me up again today with Skip Bayless. It keeps going on and on. And he says the Broncos have no shot. He thinks the Broncos have no shot in this game whatsoever. He's still on the Tebow bandwagon. He talked all this great stuff about Tebow this morning and then said they have no shot. And talked about how he's only had one bad game or one bad quarter. Still talks about how great he played against the Patriots. He was 50% passing. Second half, they scored 7 points. Garbage 7 points at the end of the game. Meant nothing. Patriots marched right back down the field and scored again. And you talk about the other problem is guys like Von Miller, who has disappeared the last three since the Patriots shut him down. He's disappeared. Denver's defense looked a little bit better than it did the last few weeks because, you know, as much as I like Kyle Orton in Kansas City, it's just not a great offense. It's not even a good mediocre offense. It's a terrible offense still. But they were able to do a couple of things and win that game. And they won that game because Tebow was so freaking horrible. I mean, horrible. So Tebow has to have the game of his life for them to win. That's the biggest point. Because I think it'll be a relatively low-scoring game. I think it'll be 13-9, 14-9, something like that, 13-6. I don't know how Denver is going to score anything through the air in this game because Pittsburgh, they're going to play right into the Steelers' hands. So we'll see if John Fox, how innovative he is. And unless the Steelers turn the ball over on special teams, fumble kickoffs, you know, fumble snaps, Ben and Pouncey don't exchange a snap correctly, who knows what could happen. You know, that's the only way I see Denver winning this game. I think it'll be ugly. I think it's probably going to be the ugliest game of the four, to be honest with you. But it'll also be the highest rated game of the four. I promise you that. It'll be higher than the New York Giants-Atlanta game because the whole country will be fascinated to see how fascinated with Tebow. And, again, you take that name off of his jersey, and he gets laughed at. If his last name was not Tebow, seriously, what would national and local media think about him? He'd be laughed out of the league. You know, it's just ridiculous that he still keeps getting all the press that he is. It's not his fault for the most part. It's the national media who have tried to build this up, and this morning they're trying to defend on ESPN and saying that they don't want to talk about it anymore, but that's all they do is talk about it. He stinks as a quarterback. He stinks. He's not mediocre. He stinks as a quarterback. He is like second or third worst in the league, the numbers, quarterback rating, even the new quarterback rating. It's awful, just awful. You cannot win in this league playing like that. So John Elway, good luck by saying, you know, pull the trigger. Good luck. Lucas says on Facebook, by the way, Pete, any news on Vollmer? I saw on Patriots.com, Lindsay and Bilo International were talking about their pick on the most important offensive player in the postseason. My player is Vollmer. I mean, Vollmer is just so disrespected by the local media as I never heard about the guy's contribution. He's a beast. My goodness, I'm not joking. He's a rock, and I've never heard of local media write an article or shoot a video where they mention how Vollmer is such a tremendous pass blocker. I love him. I hope we have him back when he gets going. You really see the impact he's making. Well, when's the last time you played, Kevin? It's been a while. Last year, there was a great – in fact, I think Steve Buckley in the Herald wrote a great piece about him. Great piece about him. How he's from Germany, came over, played at the University of Houston, and all that stuff. I think it was a great piece that Buck wrote about him. But, I mean, he hasn't played this year a lot. And certainly, I want him back. Are you kidding me? You get him back and Solder. That's just, again, another great pick. The versatility of Solder has just been – can't stress that enough, how at times this year, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't show up in box scores, it's so underrated. That's the kind of stuff that people on ESPN and NFL Network don't talk about, is the versatility of some of these guys on the offensive line. And, you know, I've talked about it all year long. You saw what happened when the Jets lost their center at the beginning of the season. I mean, in the Baltimore game, they couldn't do a damn thing. Patriots lost Dan Copen, who is an integral part of that offensive line. He is the guy that, you know, calls out the changes, all that stuff, the signals. And Dan Connolly, Wendell, McDonald, Brian Waters, Solder is, and it's just done a terrific job being able to come in as a third tight end and then being able to stay in and play tackle either side. That is a tremendous advantage that people just don't understand. And then you have Marcus Cannon, who's just been unbelievable since he's come back. He has played so well. And just a lot of people, I know locally people are noticing it, but nationally, this offensive line doesn't get anywhere near the credit it deserves. It really doesn't. Matt Light had a tremendous season. So those are the kind of, when I talk about big picture, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. When guys like Solder come in, who are so versatile, can do, you know, two or three different things without having to be substituted. And that is, I can't tell you how much a tremendous advantage that is in the National Football League. Now it's funny earlier today. So earlier today, I posted on Facebook this morning. I always do this to get a response for the show, but I said Skip Bayless right now on ESPN2's First Take having a total meltdown over Tebow. Keep saying he's only had one bad game. How do these guys get paid? Somebody please tell me. He just said, quote, he beat seven teams with his arms. And I write, are you kidding me? That's what Bayless was saying. This is the kind, he beat seven teams with his arm. No, he didn't beat seven teams, and I won't go over the. We all know the reasons why. So Sean responds, He might be the only person left in the Tebow bandwagon. George says, oh, Grego says, he got something right. He said yesterday the Pats are going to win the Super Bowl. Go Pats. Yeah, that's what scares me. That he's all totally on the bandwagon. Jason, Bayless is the worst. And I ask that same question every time I hear JT the Brick and Tom Looney. They all suck. Becky says, so far that's the funniest thing I've heard all day. Chris says, I like Tebow, but come on, the last three games he's played terrible. The last three games? How about most of the games? His best game was against Minnesota. Okay. Well, also coming, I know what, let's take a quick break then. Why don't we? Because Ed Bouchette with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette coming on at 5:15 will join us to update us on Pouncey and Roethlisberger. And, all right, we'll break in about, 5 minutes? Okay, we'll do that. That's cool. We'll find out. And, because that's going to be huge. Because Pouncey, we found out if Pouncey practiced today, because that could be.
You can ask him what he thinks of your boy Tebow, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, he's going to, I'm sure he's going to.
You can ask him if he's quaking in his boots.
No, but I guarantee you that, you know, Polamalu and company are going to go on the field. Their mouth is going to be watering. You talk about fresh meat and dead meat. That's what you think. That's what I think of. Somebody says he beat seven teams with his arm. How does Willis McGahee, who rushed for over 1,000 yards this year, and the defense led by more than impressive Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, not be able to take a little credit in this book? Yeah, true. All that stuff, and that's what most of the comments are about. And again, I challenge anyone, if you know the game, to come up in the last 25, 30 years of a quarterback you've seen in the NFL playoffs, in the playoffs, worse than Tim Tebow. I can't come up with any. I cannot come up with any worse than Tebow. So, like I said earlier, somebody said Rob Johnson. Yeah. But, you know, he was bad, but he wasn't like this. He wasn't like this. Trent Dilfer back in 2000, it was nothing like this. He had some horrible games where they didn't score any offensive touchdowns. But he wasn't like this. It is the numbers are just astoundingly bad. The overall numbers, everything. It's just terrible. Mark on Facebook says, hey, Pete, I know you mentioned that New York loving Moore and Rob Parker bring up Spygate yesterday, but I just wanted to comment on his biased ignorance. Since then, the Pats have a 64-16 regular season record over the past four seasons to go with three playoff appearances and one Super Bowl appearance, plus nabbing the number one seed the last 2 years in a row. He also called New England a fraud team this year, but the only fraud team is him as an analyst. I can't wait for him to eat some of his crow after next weekend. Keep doing what you're doing, Pete. I look forward to listening to your show all the way to Super Bowl weekend. Well, yeah, I mean, Parker is just, it's just pure hatred for the Patriots. That's all it is. It's no in-depth analysis. He doesn't bring anything to the table when talking about the Patriots. He does with other subjects, but for some reason, you know what it is? It's people are pissed, and these analysts are pissed because they're lazy and cannot figure this team out. They don't want to look inside the numbers. They don't want to look comparing the Patriots' defensive numbers compared to some other teams' defensive numbers. You got to look at all these schedules, look at all the quarterbacks and all the offenses teams like Pittsburgh and Baltimore and San Francisco have faced, all that stuff. But, you know, it takes a little bit of work. It's easy to come on the air in any venue and just say, yeah, the Patriots suck on defense. They're ranked 31st. They'll never get anywhere. That's lazy. That's all it is. And that's what guys like Parker and some other ones, and, you know, Cordell Stewart assessing the Patriots, like I said, is a freaking joke. It's a joke. You know, he's not bad when he's talking about, like I said yesterday, I kind of like him when he's not talking about the Patriots. You know, I think he brings up a lot of good points and a lot of different, but there's no question he cannot get over the Patriots. He can't get over it that he's lost to them. Neither could Marshall Faulk only recently. And he even admitted it, you know, and I'm telling you, these ex-players, a lot of them who are on the air are freaking awful. They are god awful. It's something Howard Cosell brought up many, many years ago, you know, and there were some very good ones. Don't get me wrong, but the majority of them really, really stink. To be honest with you, they really do. I don't learn a lot from most of them. I'd say 75% of the guys that are ex-players on TV, they are not telling me anything. They really aren't. I'm not. They're not telling me anything I don't already know. And when you can tell, depending on what team they played for, when they go on the air, it's no question there are certain biases and prejudices that they hold against certain teams, players, and coaches. It's so blatantly obvious, and that's why I don't understand, like ESPN, why they have guys like Cordell Stewart on talking about the Patriots. Because I guarantee you, if Teddy Bruschi ever went on there and ripped the Steelers, like Cordell Stewart has with the Patriots, I'd be holy hell to pay. So, it just cracks me up. Absolutely cracks me up. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Again, Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at 515 joins us. We'll talk about the Steelers and where they're at and get his perspective and what I think is going to be a less than exciting football game. And it'll be fascinating, though. Now, don't get me wrong. See, I don't need to see 80 points in a game to be satisfied. You know, like I said, I had when LSU played Alabama back a couple of months ago, seems like last year, it was last year, but I mean, it seems like years ago, that 9-6 game, I thought it was great. But, you know, I just think everybody is going to be focused, is going to be on Tebow to see exactly if he can get any worse, if he can complete any passes, all that stuff. I just think they're walking into I think they're in big trouble on Sunday offensively. Defensively, I think they'll hold their own with the Steelers. There's no question about it. I think that'll be an ugly, low-scoring game. But I just think, you know, they know that they're going to have to make Tebow throw the ball. And I just don't see how he comes away with a win over there. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then come back. And then we'll talk with Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Will join us here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Yeah.
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball. Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com, here until 6 o'clock tonight, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And joining me right now is Ed Buschetta of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ed, thanks for taking a few minutes. It's Pete here in Foxborough. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Pete. Thank you.
Well, first, before we get into the game, let's get into the health issues with the Steelers right now. I'm reading in the from the Denver Post and from your paper yesterday as well, the quotes about Ben saying yesterday he felt on a scale of 1 to 10, felt like about a 5. Has that gotten any better today?
Yeah, he was out there practicing today, Pete. He's going to play. How much that ankle's going to contain him or limit him, who knows? I mean, it's been to various degrees in the two games he's played since the injury, but he did return to practice today.
Well, all I look at picture is when this team gets to Denver, the Steelers, is Troy Polamalu having like a napkin and a knife and fork in hand, like he's ready to carve up a Thanksgiving Day dinner, because you talk about a bad matchup and getting even as banged up as the Steelers are, but to go into Denver to play who I think is the worst quarterback I've seen in 25 years come into a playoff game, and the way the Steelers match up with this team, I gave my fans out of here or my listeners homework assignment last night to try to come up with a way how Denver can score, you know, more than 9 points, and I'm just not seeing it. I don't care how banged up the Steelers are. It may be an ugly win like it was against Cleveland for you guys on Sunday, but tell me how Denver scores in this game.
Well, the one way would be to run on the Steelers. You know, they have the number one defense. They have the number one pass defense, Pete, but they've fallen off in the run game. You know, they were like fourth fewest yards allowed last year rushing against them, 62 point something. They were first in the league, but fourth lowest ever. And this year it's over 100 yards. They're like, I think they finished ninth. So with Willis McGahee in that running game, that's one way if Denver can pull that off. But without the threat of a passing game, you know, those guys are going to be looking for the run. So I don't know how effective it's going to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, even if – and I'm not saying that, you know, Tomlin's going to put eight in the box every game. I mean, obviously the Broncos are going to be expecting that. I think it's funny when Elway said this week, you know, let loose and, you know, go for it, all that stuff. That's all well and good. But, I mean, this guy – stinks as a quarterback. There's just no other way around it. I mean, it's not about his persona. I think the media has set him up to take a gigantic fall. I mean, I knew when the Patriots played him. I knew before that. I broke down all the game. If people just looked at the quarterbacks and inept offenses he played, how Prater bailed him out, how many pick sixes the defense had. Yeah, he made a couple of nice plays here and there, but this is as fraudulent a playoff team as I've seen in a long, long time. I think it's a great matchup for the Steelers this week. I just don't know how Denver makes this even competitive.
Well, maybe they sneak Brady Quinn in at some point, Pete. I don't know. You know, we keep hearing rumors about that kind of thing going on. They go to the starter and then bring Quinn in. I guess that would be a possibility, but there's a reason the Steelers are 9-point favorites, and that's probably the big one.
Well, you know, and you got to figure, and I was thinking about Quinn myself. If he starts off or even has a game or even a hint of it like it was against Kansas City last week, they got to pull him. They have to pull him. You can't go through another game like last week, and that's not the, you know, he had a game where he only completed two passes against Kansas City a few weeks before that. But you can't go 6-for-22 in the playoffs. It's unheard of.
Yeah, especially against good teams, which is what you get in the playoffs, you know. I really have not seen him play other than the highlights, and that was mostly when he was going good at the end of games and pulling games out. But I'm actually eager to see a whole game played by him.
Yeah.
If we see a whole game played by him.
I won't say devastating, but... The fact that Clark is going to miss this game, how big of an impact is that?
I don't think it's going to be that big of an impact. For one thing, it's free safety, and Ryan Mundy's been with this team for 3 years.
He's very good. I like him a lot. He's very good.
He's a smart guy. He has good size. So he should be able to play that. And like we said, it's not Tom Brady he's going against. It's Tim Tebow. So I don't think that's a big deal at all. It looks like maybe Marquise Pouncey, their center,
yes,
might miss another game here. Of course, they lost their starting running back, Rashard Mendenhall.
Yes.
So far, they've been able to just keep moving on without these injuries taking their toll. But I think one of these days, they're going to come up against a good team that's going to really hurt them.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I tell people I think my prediction is Cincinnati is going to win, so they're going to be here in the first game. But if it happens to be... the Steelers, I keep telling people, there's no guarantees in the NFL, especially nowadays, no question. But you feel like I do, October 30th is not going to have any impact at all as to what happens on January 14th. Completely different times.
Yeah. We saw that in 04,
yep.
Pete, when the Steelers beat New England and Philadelphia at midseason. Both came in undefeated. Steelers beat both of them, on consecutive weekends. And then the Patriots came in the playoffs and just, you know, did what the Patriots did. They won and went to the Super Bowl. So that game had nothing to do with who went to the Super Bowl. And certainly if there's a rematch between these two teams, it's not going to mean anything unless Bill had his cameras out for that game shooting the signal.
Come on. Yeah, you're right. You're right, because I'm sure that he's the only coach that's ever done that in the history of the NFL. You're not still bitter about that stuff. They've only won like...
I thought I'd just throw a little.
That's true. Well, I think most people around here want the rematch between the Patriots and the Steelers here. It'd be nice to play here in the playoffs for a change, instead of beating you guys out there by 14 or 20 points, as they usually do. I thought I'd throw that in, too. But, I'm trying to think this week, who do you think, with Charlie Batch probably having to take, you know, he's probably going to take a lot of snaps because you just don't know with Roethlisberger, who do you think, during practice this week is kind of, imitating Tebow out there? Normally, Batch would probably be a good guy to do that.
Dennis Dixon, he's a runner.
Yeah.
He would be the one who would imitate him. He moves around pretty good. And actually, Batch had to take all the snaps yesterday because Ben did not practice.
How surprised were you this year about Antonio Brown? I think he is, I'm not sure he gets I mean, he's got some positive response, but I think he's a tremendous receiver. One of the best in the league this year, by far.
What makes him so good is he has everything, but, you know, he's not physically imposing. He's a little guy. But he has the speed, the quickness, and he has great hands. He comes down with balls you wouldn't think. He caught one on his helmet against the Jets in the AFC Championship game last year. And, you know, if it was the Super Bowl, he'd beat Tyree.
Yeah.
He caught another one the other day like that.
He did. See, I had to bring up Tyree as well, you know. It took three miracle plays.
Oh, I forgot. That was against the Patriots.
You know what? I mean, you're killing me. You forgot. Yeah, you forgot. Well, what do you think the atmosphere is going to be like when you get to Denver? Now, last week, it's surprising to hear earlier today on ESPN. I didn't realize that there were like 10,000 no-shows last. I was reading Woody Page's column in the Denver Post. There were like 10,000 no-shows last week in Denver, and, you know, I know they've lost three in a row. They've been humiliated three games in a row. They should have lost a lot more in a row than that. But, I'm wondering, is the atmosphere going to be, as crazy as it might have been a month ago? I'm not sure.
Well, from what we're hearing, it's going to be crazy Steeler fans out there because there's someone, they're buying up a lot of tickets. In fact, John Fox is begging the fans out there not to sell their tickets to Steeler fans who are famous for being able to find their way into opposing stadiums. They don't come from Pittsburgh. They come from other parts of the country, and it's amazing to see it in opposing stadiums like that. One place, by the way, I have not seen it is Foxborough, but I've seen it in places like Washington and Dallas where you wouldn't expect it to happen, where Steeler fans showed up maybe 40%. There are reports that there are going to be a lot of Steeler fans out there for this game.
I agree. I've heard that myself. And I know over the years, honestly, since Bill took over here, the Patriots fans here travel pretty well also. And I did hear about – I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of Steeler fans in that stadium coming up on Sunday. So give me – how do you think this game is going to go? Are the Steelers going to be able to put up more than 13 points? Or not that they have to. I think 6 might be enough in this game. But how do you think this game is going to go?
Well, I do think it's going to be low scoring, but I think the Steelers, who have had trouble with turnovers all year, Pete, they've only had 15, which is incredibly low. They had 35 last year. I think they're going to get a bunch of them, and I don't know that their offense is going to be that effective, but I do expect a low scoring game that maybe the Steelers will pick up a couple touchdowns, either off turnovers or having them set up.
All right, Ed. Well, best of luck. Have fun in Denver, and hopefully we'll see you around here. If not in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks for the AFC Championship. Could be very exciting.
Rather see you up there in 3 weeks than 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right, my friend.
All right,
take care. That is Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, the phone number 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. See, the Steelers still good. Got to bring up Spygate, got to bring up David Tyree. See how these Pittsburgh people are? They can't get over it. They have such an inferiority complex. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But, yeah, so I think Ed thinks the score is going to be about the same. I know something 14-6, 14-9, something like that. And I know people are always like, yeah, well, when the obvious is that obvious, usually it can go the other way. Yeah, you know what? A lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times the games that you think are going to be high scoring, and the games you're going to think are going to be low scoring. The one time it didn't happen the way I thought it would this year was the Patriots-Dallas game. I thought that game would be much more high scoring. And I thought the Giants-Patriots game would be a little more high scoring, too, and it wasn't. Remember, it was 0-0 at the half. Anyway, Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD, and email me, webradio@patriots.com, except Kevin has to come in and reset the computer once again. So, you look at all these games, you look at what's coming up, these four games on Sunday, and what game do you guys think is the most interesting one? I think they're all fascinating, and it's not like last year. Now, most of us thought Seattle was going to go into New Orleans last year and get pummeled and ended up being the other way around. So you just never know. And I'll get to my predictions in just a little bit. There's only four games, obviously. But I told you who I thought was going to win, but we'll see how I feel against the spread. Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. You should have asked that Pittsburgh reporter if he thought Classy Cordell Stewart was still bitter about after losing the AFC Championship to the Patriots. Everybody in Pittsburgh is bitter. And it hasn't been just one AFC Championship. It's been a couple. Of course they're bitter. Hi, Pete and Kevin. I watched, this is from Gene also. Hi, Pete and Kevin. I watched the Steelers-Brown game on NFL Rewind, and Roethlisberger was awful. He was. He kept throwing the ball over the receiver's heads. Roethlisberger said it was too painful for him to put his toes down and follow through on the throw and kept throwing off his heels. He said he also re-injured his foot again in the third quarter, and I believe the Steelers would be better off with Charlie Batch at quarterback this week. I think this will be a tough game for the Pittsburgh, but if they do win, I do not give them much of a chance in New England. We would have to beat ourselves in that game. He likes the Giants over the Falcons, New Orleans over the Lions, and Houston over the Bengals. Let's head back to the East Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And Brandon's in California. Thanks for waiting, Brandon. You're next. How you doing?
Yeah, how's it going, Pete?
Good. What's up?
Not much. I don't know if you remember me, but I was the one that told you I drafted an all-Patriots team in fantasy football.
Oh, yes, I do remember. How that and should have worked out pretty well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I won the championship.
Nice.
Last time I went to the championship was actually 07. I lost, so I'm feeling good this year since I won.
Really?
But, I was watching ESPN First Take, and I don't know if you watched that, but, man, it just... But Rob Parker is just—he's like annoying. Like all he does is just trash the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't give like any talk about the Packers' defense who's 32nd.
Well, I mean, it's real easy. It's a real easy target for people who are lazy because they look at net yardage and they don't look at the whole package. They don't look at anything. They don't look at points allowed. They don't look at turnover differential, which the Patriots are number one in the AFC at plus 17, number three overall. They don't look at the fact that in the second half this year, in the last eight games of the season, they've been one of the best teams in the NFL, allowing on average only 7 points a game. I mean, all that stuff you have to take into effect. And yeah, they have issues. Of course they do. I mean, but so does everybody else. I mean, if they think the Ravens and Pittsburgh, with those teams and quarterbacks that they've played, are they're not doing their homework.
And then another thing is like if you look like how many yards we give up per point is like it's off the chart. Like
it's
we're
second.
The
rank second. I agree. Yeah. Somebody brought that stat up to me. They're ranked second in the NFL. So
it's just crazy how like they just try fucking. It's just anti-Patriots over there.
No, it's anti-Patriot, and it's a lot of people who are too lazy to delve deeper into all the numbers. And you can't just sit there and criticize the Patriots' defense without looking at some of the other defenses. While they may look good numbers-wise, go look at some of the offenses they faced.
Yeah,
and terrible.
One last thing. Yep. Do you think Devin McCourney will play safety?
I think he'll probably. I don't know. It depends. I think he'll play. Maybe he plays a little bit of both, like last week. I don't know. I have to wait and see how the game goes. How it starts. I have a feeling maybe he starts a corner. We'll see what happens. I think it also depends on the matchup. Who's coming here? You know, if Cincinnati's here or if it's Pittsburgh or if it's Denver. I mean, it all depends on who's starting, what team they're going to play. So we'll see.
Right, yeah, that was it, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Appreciate it. Have a great day. Back to email at webradio at patriots.com. Beth in Winchester, Virginia says, Pete, your show is the best. 2 hours of sports radio and so far as the Patriots are concerned available. Thank you, my dear. Other radio hosts are so contrarian, it is laughable because there's no way they could really feel that way, even being objective. So sour that I have to turn it off. I'm so glad that you're back on the radio and call things as you see and hear them. Thank you. I do. And I know there are those out there that say, you know, somebody said to me on Facebook with a big homer. I'm not guaranteeing the Patriots are winning anything. I'm not Rex Ryan. I'm looking at the whole league, the whole big picture, everything objectively here. You know, just as the Emperor said in Star Wars, not just the dogmatic, pragmatic view of some of these other national morons. You know, it's real easy. Real easy just to look at one aspect of the defense and one aspect of a team and stay strictly pass or fail. That's what half the ESPN and NFL Network idiots do. They don't do their homework, a lot of them. Some do, but a lot of them don't. Tony says, Pete, how could you say that Belichick deserves Coach of the Year honors when they did not beat one team all season with a record above 500 and lost to the only two teams with winning records on their schedule, Steelers and Giants? Tony, here's the thing. As I've said this before, you're not listening. The reason why those teams ended up at 500 is because the Patriots beat them. And what you, Tony, my friend, have not taken into consideration is where were the records of those teams when the Patriots played them? They played the Jets. First of all, let's go back after the Buffalo game. They went out to Oakland to play the Raiders. There's a bunch of people that thought the Raiders were this up-and-coming team and the Patriots weren't going to win. Well, guess what? They shut everybody up for the first time all year, as usual, you know, whacking the Raiders. I think it was 30-21, whatever. They shut McFadden down except for one run. They played the Jets after those two losses in New York when no one on the planet thought they were going to win. I sat here and told you I thought they'd win by 3 or 4 points. They won by 21. They killed them. The Jets were on a 3-game winning streak at the time. Everybody was ready to hail them as the new champions of the division. Boom. You got to give them credit for that at the time when they played them. Then they played in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was playing for their playoff lives. They needed to win that game. They jump out to a 10-0 lead. The Patriots come back and destroy them. I don't care if Michael Vick was playing quarterback or not. It didn't matter. They had to win that game. You go into Denver during that hype, all that crap that they had to go through all week long when nobody was thinking they were going to win that game. A lot of people weren't thinking that game. On the road, going through all the negativity, blocking it all out. In the end, they win by 3 touchdowns. On the road. All these are, you're getting the hint. They're all road wins. And those teams finished 500 because the Patriots beat them all. And it's unbelievable why people will refuse to look at it that way. You have to look at when they played all these teams. So I'm sure, Tony, you think that what happened October 30th against the Steelers is something that's going to happen again here on January 14th, should they play them. And you just heard Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette saying, don't think that way either. They know. Steelers fans know. Pittsburgh comes here, they're going to be in serious trouble. The way that team is now, they are not the same team they were back on October 30th. And the Patriots are better. And I don't know if you can say that about the Steelers. Of course. I mean, anything can happen on any given Sunday. But that's really, I don't know how you can't consider him as Coach of the Year. He's got people like Edelman and Sterling Moore, practice squad players, Slater playing defense. They missed the top safety and one of the top linebackers missed half the season. Chung and Spikes, or a big chunk of it. You know? Rozai Dowling goes on IR. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened this year. I think he absolutely should be considered for Coach of the Year. So, I mean, if you think the Giants and Steelers are better than the Patriots right now, the Giants who lost to Washington at home 3 weeks ago because they beat the cruddy Jets, you know, which they did, which I picked them to win, and they picked them to beat Dallas. Romo in December is terrible. Big picture, Tony. Big picture. Look at it. Everybody's talking about jumping on the Giants bandwagon. They finished the season 3-5. They lost to Washington at home by 2 touchdowns 3 weeks ago. But you're entitled to your opinion. All right, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And something just happened here, Kevin, as usual. I don't know what. This was a new one. Everything just kind of went. I have no access whatsoever. But let me get to some of the Facebook messages as well, if I can find them. The sound in the background you just heard cussing was Kevin Collins, who was obviously upset. Oh, yeah, Michael says on Facebook, New Orleans played in Seattle, not the other way. Yes, you're right, because Seattle won the division at 7-9. Yeah, it still shouldn't have mattered. It was embarrassing the way that New Orleans played in that game. But Seattle still was not as bad as this Denver team last year. They weren't. And I'm trying to think, maybe I'm missing it. I challenged someone, not challenged, but I'm asking, I'm racking my brain trying to figure out a quarterback who has come into the league, into the playoffs, in a playoff situation over the last 25 years that you think is worse than Tebow. I can't come up with one. Trying, racking my brains. I can't come up with one. Like I said, somebody mentioned Rob Johnson, but even him, as much as I despised him, I can't do it. I can't do it. Cliff says on Facebook, the only way they can double digits is if Prater hits 250-plus field goals and the D scores a touchdown because of Big Ben's immobility. I predict a buttload of three and outs for Denver and the stinker. Elway has already given up on Tebow. The team will, too. Then maybe, just maybe, Skip Bayless will, too. Well, Skip Bayless bailed on him already. He bailed on him. He said if they backed in, you know, he would say, he said today, reiterated what he said, was going to say, he said they have no shot. Yet he went on to say today, went on the air today and said, quote, he beat seven teams with his arm. That was his quote. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. But, look, the playoff games this week, I think, are, and I'll give you my picks against the spread coming up shortly. Cincinnati-Houston on Saturday at 4:30, that's the first one. Detroit-New Orleans at 8 o'clock at NBC. And then on Sunday, Atlanta and the Giants. And then you have Pittsburgh and Denver. Brian, on email, an email you at webradio at patriots.com, Brian says, I've noticed as you were talking about earlier how everyone has been railing against the Patriots defense until, wait for it, week 17 when the Packers went above them in yards given up. And then all of a sudden it's about points given up. The Patriots find a way. They found a way with Buffalo, Miami, and Denver, and they shut down Buffalo for three solid quarters. They shut down Denver for three solid quarters, too, and Miami for pretty much two and a half quarters. Why is there this huge discrepancy? Is it because there are simply higher expectations for the Patriots since they win so much? Thanks for taking the question. Brian in Colchester, Vermont. Thanks, Brian. No, it's very simple. There is a hatred and a disdain for this team. It's, most of it is because of Belichick, because he doesn't give sexy answers. And it is a lot. It's jealousy because they've won so much. You have too many you have too many analysts out there on the NFL Network and on ESPN who have got their asses kicked by the Patriots over the years, which is why a lot of those guys are sitting there as analysts because they couldn't beat them anymore. They lost to them so many times. It got sickening. So they had to retire and go on ESPN and NFL Network and make more fools out of them. I'm teasing, but actually I'm half serious. But there's a lot to that. There are prejudices out there, and it's not just against the Patriots. Some of these guys have them against other teams, but it's so blatantly obvious. You can't have guys like Cordell Stewart talk about the Patriots. He can't do it objectively. Teddy Bruschi, on the other hand, I think, can talk about most of the league. I think he's been very objective. I think he's been critical of this team at times. You heard what he said about Chad Ochocinco at the beginning of the season. All that stuff. But Cordell Stewart can't do it. When you guys get like, Brad Parker is sitting there talking about how fraudulent and the worst team, Chris Carter, this is the worst defense of all time, but the beloved Packers end up with the worst defense in the NFL, in NFL history, yardage-wise, and nobody gives it a second thought for the most part. Nobody gives it a second thought. But because it's the Patriots, it's the way the league is. And I do think Bill Belichick has adjusted. And like I said, I don't think anything less of the Packers, except I think they're a great team. You know, I think New Orleans is a great team. I think the Patriots are a great team. I just think that's just the way it is. The way the league is right now, if you don't have offense, you can't win. And it's real cute and the defense was champ. No, it's not. Those days are done. I told you. They just have to have a semblance of the defense, play what they've been doing, leading the league in turnovers or lead the AFC in turnovers, do what they do, make stops. Second half of the season, one of the best teams in the NFL, they allow only 7 points a game in the second half. And if you don't, and I don't understand why people don't bring up that number and think that doesn't count for anything. And of course, those who do will say, well, you didn't play anybody. Teams are, you know, weren't over 500 or whatever. You know, apply the same logic and tell me why the Steelers can't score more than 13 points against the Browns. Tell me what great offenses the San Francisco 49ers have faced all year. Baltimore, too. The only offenses they faced on the road, they lost. I'm telling you, this is some of you out there going to be in for a big, big surprise. Big, big surprise. I got my crow all ready to go, though. I got about 50 different types of crow. I'm going to have Chef Gordon Ramsay come in here to really show me how to prepare it 50 different ways. For all the haters out there who still think this team isn't going to win anything, I got it all ready to go. I've seen this act before, and the same people who are talking about 2007 and 2009 and 2010 are just lazy. They have not, those years are over. Those years have nothing to do with this year. And I don't understand why people nationally and locally keep bringing up the last couple of years. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Nothing. So, and I'm not saying the Patriots are going to cakewalk and steamroll their way into the Super Bowl. I'm not guaranteeing anything. I think it's going to be a very difficult. I mean, I predicted at the beginning of the season, I said Patriots in New Orleans. But it is going to be a tough, tough task for somebody to come in here and try to outscore this team 2 weeks. And I don't care if it's Cincinnati, Denver, Pittsburgh, or Baltimore. It's going to be tough. I'll be back with my picks and maybe some closing thoughts. And again, email me on webradiopatriots.com, Facebook me. As well, and call me on the A's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Back with some final thoughts and my picks coming up here on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just kind of really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
How about the latest drama with the third string quarterback who probably wants to take over for Sanchez, goes on Alabama Ray. Was it McConnell? Is that his name? I don't have it in front of me. Third string quarterback for the Jets goes on some either Sirius Radio or something in Alabama and starts ripping the team even more about how much dissension there is, and because he probably thinks he's better than Sanchez that could take over, which of course he is. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, among six players that did not practice today for the Patriots. Also, Wes Welker, Tom Brady, Sebastian Vollmer, Marcus Cannon, Logan Mankins as well. But not surprised at all. Players were in light shoulder pads and practice outside today for the second time this week. But plenty of time for all those guys to heal. Before I do, let me read some more of these emails. Thanks for responding so quickly, says Brian. I guess we should just be thankful that Bill Belichick, Brady, and company aren't as sensitive as us fans. They're just entirely too focused on the game, except for the first quarter. Yeah. They have an uncanny ability, unlike any team around here, any team around the National Football League. Their best attribute, and finally, somebody besides me brought it up a few weeks ago, Trent Dilfer on ESPN of all people, they are just more prepared than everybody else. They just are. Belichick is a stickler for situational football. And you've seen some of the clips where he just calls out something right away. He'll say, like, okay, it's a fourth and two from the 22, and we need to get 4 yards. We need to get 3 yards. Let's go. Next play. All right, it's first and 15 from the 49, and we're doing this. Boom. I mean, they do a lot of those kind of drills. They're prepared for everything. Gene says, I've beaten Kevin. Only 12 of 32 teams ended up with winning records, and we're two on our schedule. Seven teams had winning records, and we played them, but they eventually ended up 8-8 or worse. Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm talking about. That stuff, that's the latest that people bring up. It's childish. The people who bring that up, again, that's more just laziness, and, you know, anybody can do that with. So I can tell you, I can do that with teams the Steelers played and who Baltimore played as well. That kind of crap is childish. If somebody says to you over the next couple of weeks that the Patriots haven't beaten anybody over 500, tell them again to respond. Ask them when the teams that they played, what the records were, winning streaks were on. Denver had won six in a row. The Eagles were in, and these were all road games the Patriots played and won, and won big by three touchdowns in all of them. Where were the teams playing? I mean, where were the teams' records when they played them? What was on the line? What were the winning streaks at the time? I mean, it's endless. It's endless. All right, let's get to my picks. Let's do this. Let's get to my picks. And I will have a miraculous pick as well. But I'm going to give you all, unlike the regular season format, I'm going to give you all four against the spread. Then I'll tell you the one that I really, really like the most. Here we go. First off, it's Sunday. I mean, Saturday at 4:30 on NBC. Houston is -3 at home against Cincinnati. This is a very close game a few weeks ago that the Texans won, squeaked it out in a two-point win. And I don't think that's going to happen again. I think it's going to be a very close game. This will be nip and tuck, but I am taking the Bengals in this one, plus the three. So that is the team I feel will be here a week from Saturday night, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati +3. On Saturday night, another rematch from the regular season is New Orleans against Detroit. This one is tough. The Saints are favored by 10.5 points in this one. I think this is way too many. Ndamukong Suh didn't play the last time this game. They played probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago, maybe. They played on Monday night. I just think playoff football, I think this game is going to be a little closer than 10.5. I think New Orleans wins a very close game. I am taking Detroit plus the 10.5. Should be very interesting. Should be a lot of points in that one. Next up, we move to Sunday. It's the New York Football Giants at home, a 3-point favorite against the Falcons. Too bad the line makers got this one wrong, because the wrong team is favored by 3. The Falcons should be favored in this game. They're a better team, but because the Giants are in New York and because the Giants beat up on Romo and stupid Sanchez, people forget that 3 weeks ago they lost to the Washington Redskins at home by 3, by 2 touchdowns, and are 3-5 in the second half of the season. This team is not the 07 Giants. They're just not. I think the Falcons go into New Jersey and they get a win. Atlanta outright, +3 over the New York Football Giants. And finally, Pittsburgh is at Denver. Steelers on the road as an 8.5-point favorite. Many out there will take the under in this game, as they should. I would set the game at like 29, to be honest with you. But Pittsburgh, 8.5 on the road. I know the line seems big. I can't see Denver getting to double digits or getting much past 10 points. I don't see it. This plays right into the hands, this game, of the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they play. They couldn't ask for a better matchup than this game right here. Anybody else would be, if they were ever on the road and had 8.5-point favorites, I would take the other team. But this plays right into their hands. Pittsburgh, 20. The frauds of Tebow and company, 9. 20-9. That is my prediction. Pittsburgh covers the 8.5. They get it done. Maybe a squeaker for as far as the cover goes, but they get it done. And now I'll give you my Meat Shepherd Monster Miraculous pick.
And now it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
Well, I got to tell you, you may have got a hint of it when I said I thought the wrong team is favored in New Jersey. I'm sorry. I think it's the Atlanta Falcons' time. They are going to win this game. It'll be a hard-fought game, but I just think the Falcons are a better team. I think the Giants are a tad fraudulent. Tad fraudulent for the last couple of weeks. I mean, they played hard. They had a win. I give them credit. I thought they would win the last two games, but I just think Matt Ryan and company are going to have a pretty good day, and they're going to beat the Giants. They're going to beat them outright. So the Atlanta Falcons +3 is my Meat Shepherd Monster Miraculous pick of the week. I want to thank Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for joining us. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. And we'll be back next Tuesday right here on Patriots.com here on the Pete Shepherd Show. It's going to be one hell of a weekend for football. Every game has got some intrigue in it, all of it. I mean, I can't remember a year where I will be glued. You don't want to miss any play at any of these games, because they all, you know, have a potential impact on the Patriots of who they might play, whether in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, hopefully. So enjoy, everybody. Have a great and safe rest of your Thursday. Have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday here at 4 o'clock right here on Patriots.com. Bye, everybody.
Pete Shepard. Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.